Gary and I came together and created this role. What are we building here? And he said, we are creating the single greatest human organization in the history of time. He said, you will touch every single human being and infuse our agencies with empathy. I only care about the people here. I care about the heartbeat. 8 months later, we created this role. This company is rooted in care. We want people to flourish. The people in our companies are not the most important asset. They are the company. Without them, there is no company. Empathy is an emotion. How do I show empathy? Is with kindness and compassion. So I said to Gary at the end of 2023, what do you want me to focus on in this next year? And he said, you need to meet every single employee across the globe. Okay. So my job this year is to meet every single employee and to really be able to let Gary know who we have in this company. Hello, hello.
Hello, Claude. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How's the weather in New York?
It is beautiful, beautiful and chilly. Very, very chilly. And how about, are you in Sydney? Where are you?
Yes, Sydney, Australia. It's currently a cloudy day. Yesterday was so hot. It went up to 40 degrees Celsius. So I don't know what's that in Fahrenheit, but yesterday was insane.
Oh my gosh, that is hot.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is hot, hot, hot. Wow. What time is it there?
It's currently 9:04 a.m.
Okay. 5:04 p.m. here.
Awesome, awesome. How I first found out about you, Claude, I think I was remembering, it was probably like a few years back when I was watching like a Daily V vlog and Gary V was talking about bringing on a chief of heart. And he sort of, it was like this new thing, like it was the first time hearing that as a term. And he sort of was like, yeah, this is a very, like, I'm so focused on my employees and that's sort of how you grow a business, that's how you scale, and that's how I first found out about you. And ever since then I really wanted to sort of get you on the podcast to just talk about sort of building teams, looking after employees, and just sort of learn all about how you were able to help scale VaynerMedia.
Amazing, thank you so much. It is going to be my 8th year anniversary doing this, like in a couple days, so perfect timing.
Could you give, I guess, the audience a bit of an intro on sort of who you are and then sort of what you're currently focused on? You've been working at VaynerMedia for the last 8 years.
Yeah, I've actually been here for almost 10 years and I've been a chief heart officer for 8 years. The things I did immediately when Gary and I came together and created this role, a couple of things I said initially to him. The first was, okay, what are we building here? I've been at the company 16, 17 months. What are we doing? And he said, we are creating the single greatest human organization in the history of time. I said, okay, sign me up. Aspirational. Let's do it. And I said to him, you know, I don't come from HR. I didn't ever want to be in HR. But how do we know if I'm successful? How do we know? How are we going to measure me? And he said, you will touch every single human being and infuse our agencies with empathy. And so 8 years in, that continues to be the only job description I've ever had, which is wild. And then when I said, you know, again, I reiterated, I've never done HR. It would be really, you know, just strange for me all of a sudden to be running HR. He was so wonderful. And he said, you know what, you'll hire a very strong team around you, which I have. The first thing I did 8 years ago was I changed the department name from HR, which I actually just don't know what that means really, to people and experience, because we know what that is. And we know that we want to take care of the people and the entire experience they have with us from the moment they send in their CV all the way through. And that means learning and development and feedback and opportunities and working on, you know, Fortune 50 brands and all of that. Everything until they leave. And actually we look after them even after we leave, because we've created an alumni group. An alumni group means we have a list of companies that come to us, hit us up and say, hey, do you have a social media marketing manager we can hire? Do you have a videographer? And so either we have potentially let a person go and we want to help them find a role, or we know of people in the world, in our network that we can assign them, we can connect them to. So everything we do is about the people. And I know that tons and tons of companies say that they are people first, and that's fantastic. We really put our money where our mouth is, I would say. And this company is rooted in care. We want people to flourish. How do you do that? Well, you spend time with them. You spend time with them. You listen to them. You share with them. You teach through osmosis. You bring them along. I mean, there's so many ways to show care and to create a culture filled with, of course, psychological safety, but belonging. And that's what I aim to do every day, belonging and bravery. And so a long-winded way of saying, you know, that's how we started 8 years ago. And today, to this day, I'm still doing it, still scaling it, working on different initiatives because we've grown so much. And it's a new day. It's 2024. And the world is a bit different. And yeah, I can't imagine doing anything else. It's really I would say my life's work is right here, right now.
That's beautiful, Claude. Right now, my team, we have probably around 10 to 16 employees, and they're all overseas. They're all virtual employees from the Philippines to Egypt. We had an employee in sort of South Africa. And what advice would you have for people like me in order to scale that sort of care, that sense of belonging for a team that is that there is no sort of office, there isn't a home base. You know, right now I've been sort of sending in voice messages to all the employees, you know, every few weeks. We remember their birth dates. If someone gets married, we try to send them a gift, or if someone has a newborn, we try to send them a baby gift. And that's sort of how we've been doing it. Any advice?
Well, I think especially in remote work where we only have this, you really want to capitalize on the intimacy that can be created here. And I say intimacy meaning I'm just looking at you right now, and you can see my body language. I can see your body language. That goes a long way. I'm active listening to you. Again, you can see, I see you nodding. You can see me nodding. People have a lot to share, and they're going to share, especially on a screen, if you also offer something to them. Offer meaning be human. Don't be a robot. Don't be, you know, the general corporation. Be human, you know, and potentially maybe you saw them post something on Instagram over the weekend. They got engaged, or they got a new puppy, or let's let people in. Let's let people in, and they will let us in. We have to also remember on a screen, because there's a lot of intimacy, there's also a vulnerability, which is maybe I don't want you to see my world. And so maybe I'm going to blur my background. You know, maybe I don't want you to see that I'm live with my parents still, those types of things. And so we need to be very mindful of that and enter into this room, enter into the situation with care, with grace, and with, I would say, with, you know, with energy of wanting to be here with you. So that's what I would say during this time where people are remote and will continue to be remote. And I would say the other thing is, you know, we've spoken about listening, which is so incredibly important. We've spoken about vulnerability, me sharing with you something about my world, my life. And then I would also say, you know, quite frankly, how can I be of service? How can I help you? What can I do for you? So there's a really great value exchange. And of course, that really depends on if you're speaking to someone that is more senior, more junior, are you managing up, managing down? But awareness, having awareness of this is super important. And again, having awareness, like it is their birthday, they did get engaged, you know, sending you know, just quick notes of recognition and thanks go such a long way. We use Slack. So Slack is a great mechanism for us to just say, you know, thank you so much for showing up today in that meeting the way you did. Those types of things. So recognition goes a very long way.
That's amazing. How do you go about balancing time between all the different employees and all the employees at different stages, whether they've been with you for 5 years, 1 year, 1 week, as I guess like a monthly call for everyone. You sort of, some people might need more time, some people might need less. If someone's newly onboarded, you might want to sort of help them sort of get the ball rolling. But if someone's been here for a long time, they have a lot of responsibilities, so you're already naturally talking to them a lot, so the in-between sort of gets forgotten. What's your advice there?
Well, let's pay attention that the in-between sometimes gets forgotten, and we pay a lot of attention to onboarding the newbies, and we rely on the OGs to get the work done. But I also rely on the old OGs to be culture champions and to spend time with the middle. I rely on the managers and the leaders to spend time. The middle gets forgotten all the time, and it gets forgotten in middle management also. We stop paying attention to that middle layer, and so it gets more challenging to retain them also. So being aware and being mindful of this level, this layer of people, and finding out whether or not it's one-on-one or in a group setting, you know, what are they working on? What are their challenges? What are the opportunities they're looking forward to? A lot of times I'll say, whether or not it's in a one-on-one or it's in a group setting, I will say, and this is to people that have been there for, in the middle, let's play rose, bud, thorn. Rose, something great. Bud, something you're looking forward to. Thorn, a challenge. Obviously, I'm listening for the challenge. And then I'm listening to see if there are patterns. And does everyone have that kind of challenge in this level? Ah, okay. We need to spend time with this level, training them on X, Y, and Z. Spend time with this level, just enjoying one another and having icebreakers with one another, you know. So the answer really is, let's be very mindful that we do forget them. And what are we going to do about that? We can't just ignore that. They're the lifeblood of the agency. They're the lifeblood of the organization, right? So let's spend time and remind them that they are of value. And by the way, if they're not of value and it's time to let go of them, then let's have that kind and candorous conversation and let them go find their place in another organization rather than keeping them around because they've just been here for 5 years.
Something I always have to remind myself, like one of our, she's the operational manager, she looks after all the employees. We do these daily morning 5 minute sort of whips. We sort of catch up and we're just going over what she's done over the last day and what she plans on working on today. And I'm constantly having to remind myself every few days to be like, hey Lani, how are you going? Like, what's things have been on? So even though we're talking every day, I have to remind myself to actually be like, hey, how's your family? And then it's like a different type of communication, even though we're chatting every day.
Right. That's human. It's human. How are you doing? How are your children? What's going on? Gosh, it was 40 degrees here yesterday. Wow, what did you all do? You know, the air con went out, whatever it is. You know, in order for us, I really think, to be successful companies these days, we need to acknowledge that the people in our companies are not the most important asset. They are the company. Without them, there is no company. That's a huge change to what was, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when we were more seen as cogs in the wheel. But now we are the culture. We are creating and cultivating the culture every day. All of us are responsible for the culture, not just HR, not just your CEO, not just your culture person. You know, we all have responsibility. And I take that as a real honor. I want people to know they're here and share with us. Or what do you do on the weekends? What do you do? How do you have any tips and tricks on G Suite? I mean, come on, anything in the world, anything in the world. So we just got to be human and have enough self-awareness and enough ability to regulate our own emotions so that we know. We're open to sharing this with you. I want to share this part of my life with you. I'm going to take down my armor, and I know I'm not going to put myself into a tailspin right now. I feel safe enough in my body, in myself, to share with you something about me.
One thing I've always been thinking about subconsciously, it's like, you have this amazing empathy, Claude. You have this amazing EQ. Like, what advice? Like, I'm always like, when I have kids, like, how do I pass on that sort of empathy? And better yet, like, how do I sort of get my sisters who are maybe 2, 3 years younger than me? Like, how do I sort of get them to be able to really talk with their heart, talk with their emotions, and be vulnerable? Is that something you're born with? Can that be taught?
Of course it can be taught. I believe that empathy, well, let's put it this way. Empathy is an emotion. How do I show empathy is with kindness and compassion. We humans, I would say 99% of us learn kindness and compassion when we're 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old. We have that. We have that ability to be kind, to share our toys, to let someone else go first. We learn that. So I think what ends up happening in life is at some point we shut that off, whether or not it's through school, whether or not it's through a traumatic experience, whether or not we are told we're too emotional. And so we shut down. And so then we become adults. And then we see that it is safe enough for me to open up again. Or you meet someone that's your partner and you know you want to open up again with he or she. Or by the way, you become an adult and you think the world isn't safe. And that's a whole nother journey. So I absolutely believe that empathy can be taught. It starts with self-awareness. Self-awareness. And the self-awareness also is self-compassion. I'm not perfect. I've got so many faults. If I get to know you and if I'm real with you, you're going to see some of my flaws. Am I going to be okay with that? Yes. Okay. Next step. Right? It's a journey. It's a journey. But I definitely think empathy can be taught. It's a kindness and compassion. It's a practice. It's a muscle. And it's up to you to use that muscle because the world needs it because you need it, because your organization needs it, because your family needs it, because your church needs it, whatever it is. We need more tenderness in this world. I just truly believe we do. And we will get there in time. We will get there in time.
That's beautiful. Claude, prior to working at VaynerMedia, did you have a psychology background? What were you so doing prior?
Oh gosh, I've been in the agency world for a long time. I've been working at advertising agencies. I was a strategist, and I have many, many years under my belt studying psychology, positive psychology, and human development. And so, I see psychology as not that we're trying to fix an illness, not that there's a problem, but there's optimism. I don't see us as sick. A lot of psychology sees you as sick or abnormal. And that's not my belief. My belief is that we are all wired to belong. We are all wired to be in community with one another. And all of us, every single one of us, has bumps in the road. And something happened to us as a child, or this or that. And so, how can we come together and acknowledge the fact that while we all have very different lived experiences, we all share very similar emotions. So, for example, you and I have very, very different lived experiences from male, female, to where you live geographically, to culturally. However, you and I could probably agree on what kindness looks like. We could probably agree on what frustration looks like, sadness, hope, right? You're going to talk about it in your way based on how you're organized and where you come from. I'll talk about it in my way, but they will be very, very similar, even though you and I could not be further apart in terms of our lives. How do we remember that we need one another? We need to be in community. We're not supposed to be in isolation. We're supposed to be together.
I've been slowly been practicing that muscle of sort of self-awareness and clocking when I'm feeling down, clocking when and I'm reaching out to friends and they're sort of not getting back to me as quickly as they usually do, and understanding that they're probably busy and they have a lot of things going on, and clocking that feeling of sort of being forgotten, and it's like a down day, so I'm a bit more exhausted, so everything's compounding. So I'm able to clock it. It feels bad, and I know that it will pass. So I just sort of, give it 1 or 2 days, try to sleep. That's been my current sort of method of dealing with the downs and the slower days. Do you have any advice? Is there anything you do to charge, recharge, rest, Claude?
Great question, especially because I have two very young children. So the rest doesn't come that easy, but the recharge is extremely important to me. And that means I'll listen to music, I'll listen to a podcast, I'll cook, I'll do things that feed my that just feed my soul, that have nothing to do with my day job, nothing to do with psychology, nothing to do with helping. They just have to do with nourishing in some way, shape, or form, in a very sensual way. My senses, my listening to music, eating, that type of thing. You mentioned something, though, that I think is really, really interesting. We all have those days when we reach out to that person, they don't get back to us, or someone that we're dating doesn't get back to us. We make things mean that it's about us. That it's about us, it's about them. I heard this phrase once. We are meaning-making machines. We make everything about us, and it's just not the way it is. It's not. Not everyone is thinking about or judging us 24/7. We are judging ourselves 24/7, but not everyone is doing that. In fact, they probably don't spend that much time thinking about us. We're all thinking about ourselves. What do I mean there? I mean, A, it's extremely important, as I already mentioned, self-compassion, self-awareness, self-compassion, self-care. And in those moments where the wheels might be shaking because I'm feeling insecure, or someone hasn't gotten back to me, or I think that person thinks I'm not intelligent, I need to take a moment or two. And really, what I try to do is I just put my feet on the floor, I close my eyes, I do three breaths in, three times. I breathe in, count to five, hold it five, breathe out five. And that resets you three times. That resets your entire system, I have been told. And so I do it because I was told it. And it feels good.
As your role, you're probably always checking in and seeing how people are, how's your husband's new job? How's the new baby boy? You've just joined. How's the last 2 weeks been working with us? Do you ever sort of, after doing that all day, you're just like, what about me? Who's gonna ask me how I'm going? Like I wanna be asked those questions.
I get filled up with my kids. I get filled up. I guess what I should say is I've been doing this a very, very long time. And so I have learned that if I take that person's stuff on, I'm no good to them and I'm no good to me. So I do compartmentalize to an extent, but I also create a very, imagine a space between us where you can say anything you want, and it just goes into this big, big soup pot. And at the end of our time together, we're going to dump that soup pot out. You may leave the room. I'm going to go dump that soup pot out and start again. And that way, let's go back to this. It's not about me. You are coming in, and we're talking about you being burnt out. It's not about Claude. And I don't have to have all the answers, but we can find solutions together. Or if you trust me and you'll allow me to be a passenger with you on your journey, we're going to figure this out together. I don't have to take your emotions on. And as someone that used to get very, very mergy with people in my young, young years, and I didn't have boundaries, I know how important it is to now have boundaries. I know that where you stop and I start. You don't need to know that. I need to know that. So, and of course, that comes with a lot of practice and a lot of just a lot of practice and wanting to make sure that I always have enough fuel in my tank to live, to give, to be a mom, to speak to you, to do whatever it is I want to go do after work. You know, it's all again, how do you check in with yourself? How can you check in with yourself even quietly? Am I okay? Am I feeling tired? Do I need to get up and stretch? I've been sitting down for a long time. I should probably go get some fresh air. All we need to do is just take a second and just, if you close your eyes or you just step away from the computer, what do I need? What do I need? What do I need? I need to get up and walk around. What do I need? What do I need right now? I need to get up and stretch. I've been sitting in this crouched place for a very long time. What do I need? I need a hug. What do I need? I need fresh air.
That's beautiful, God. I remember looking back, maybe 2, 3 years ago, Gary and you guys, he had an open door policy where any employee could walk into his room. And he also did, I think he went through a period where he scheduled it in like a 15-minute chat with every single employee in the company because people just weren't walking the door. Is that something he still does? What was the result of that? And I'm curious to see the aftermath of all that work.
So I'll give you I'll tell you what Gary used to do and still does, by the way. He started with 15 minutes and now he does 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I do 15 minutes. There's so much you can get to in those 5 minutes for him. I mean, he's a very special person in the 15 minutes I'm spending with you. If I'm present, right? If I'm here with you. And I'm here with you. I want to be here with you. So he calls it the GV15. I've always just called it 15 minutes, or I call it whiteboard sessions. That is how we scale. So I said to Gary, at the end of 2023, we sat down and I said, "What do you want me to focus on in this next year?" And he said, "You need to meet every single employee across the globe." Okay. So I needed to immediately figure out how I was going to track that. I can't fly everywhere. That's too expensive. I have to rely on technology. How are we going to have that connection in 15 minutes that it means something? I don't want to waste your time. You don't want to waste my time. So that's, again, you know, your questions in the beginning really were amazing because that's active listening. That's me leaning in here. I really want to hear what you have to say. I'm here and we're gonna figure this out together. And maybe you don't come to me. Maybe I'm just meeting you and you have nothing to share with me. And so we talk about, I'll ask you, you know what, when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? You know, I'll ask you anything. I'm gonna be curious. And again, I don't want to waste your time. So my job this year is to meet every single employee and to really be able to let Gary know who we have in this company.
And how did Gary know, or how did that partnership come up? Like, how did he come to you and be like, "Hey, Claude, like, I want you to take on this role, this responsibility"? Did you have signs of raising your hand up already? How did that partnership come to be?
So when we met, I was living in London. I was a strategist and we just hit it off 30 minutes and we just hit it off on our belief in human beings. And I guess he could tell that I was pretty empathetic and optimistic. And obviously it's Gary. I had been following him. So I moved to New York and I started here and I was the first SVP and I was running client partnerships. And a year in to me doing the work, so that was 2014. In a year in, I said to myself, this doesn't feed me. This is not feeding me anymore. And I went to Gary and I said, thank you so much for this opportunity. I love this place. You're fantastic. But I no longer want to work in advertising. It was true. I no longer wanted to figure out how to digitally, socially get this into your hands. And he said, what do you want to do? So here's what I said to him. I only care about the people here. I care about the heartbeat, heart. And so 8 months later, We sat down and we created this role. That was it. Now, during that first 16 months that I was here, he picked up on something and he had me start to go to all of our other offices, San Francisco, LA, London, Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I said to him, "Oh, great. Yeah, I'd love to go to San Francisco, so forth and so on. You know, my client is here though in New York." And he said, "That's okay. Just go do that thing that you do." That's what he said. "Go do that thing that you do." And that is the type of wizard he is. He knew enough by spending time with me that the thing I did was I gave space to people. I created space and I held space for people. And he knew that. And so when I finally said to him, I don't want to do this job anymore. For him, I think it was a slam dunk. He's thinking, wow, I'm not going to be able to meet every single employee anymore. We're going to need someone who can emulate me, who I believe in, who's the other side of me. And wow, we found Claude. So that's really what, you know, how this all manifested. It was me just saying, I've had a great career in advertising, but I don't want to do it anymore. It's not for me. There's other people that are better at it. And I just want to be with people. I just want to be of service, joyful service.
That's beautiful, Claude. I want to be respectful of your time. Last two questions. One, any recent discoveries that you have implemented to your life?
I love that question. Thank you. I have been listening to a recording of myself saying positive affirmations in the middle of the night when I go to sleep. I put it on my headphones. I fall asleep to it. It's on a loop. I am strong. I am smart. I am this. I am that. It's a really good way for me to fill my cup, a really, really good way. I didn't come up with it. I worked with a coach who shared that with me. And I'm very, very grateful I have that because I need it. That is a way for me to fill myself up that I need. And it's like an elixir when I listen to it. And even on my way home tonight, I'll put it on and I'll listen to it. So I think that's the first thing that I would say. The second thing is definitely not something I've implemented recently. I've done it now for quite a while, but is a gratitude, we'll call it a gratitude journal. I might not write it down, but every day I will say out loud one to three things that I'm grateful for. One to three things. Could be this conversation. It could be that it's a beautiful day and the sun's about to set here in New York and it's gorgeous. My children are healthy. Could be anything. So those things for me really, really help charge me. They give me a charge in my tank and I can go again. I can go again. And they're very, you know, thank you for asking the question. It's very, you know, it's a very intimate what I do to make sure that I can be consistently the me I love being. And I didn't always love being, but I love being.
That is beautiful. Last question I was always usually asked as well is, what's your goal and focus over the next 6 months?
My goal and focus, I have several 1,000%, but I would say one of them is really, really working on that middle layer that we spoke about and seeing if that middle layer has the potential and the desire and the drive to move up. The middle layer, we have steady performers there. Do they have that desire and that thirst to become high performers? Okay, if so, I'm going to give them my all. That's one of them. I would say the other thing is really, really tripling down on feedback training. We all are working on feedback training, but how can we create much more of a feedback culture here that I can actually feel safe asking you to give me some feedback? By the way, it's subjective feedback. You like wearing white t-shirts and I like wearing hoodies. Okay, that's the way it is. So, getting to a place where we can receive feedback without going into fight or flight, that is just your subjective feedback. And you most likely want the best for me. You most likely want me to grow. So you're going to give me that feedback in a way that I can hear it. Not praise. Oh, not Andy, you're the best. That was the best. That was the best presentation. Well, that doesn't help you. But the feedback would be, I'm so glad I sat in that presentation with you, Andy. And I think the story arc that you told was fantastic. I did notice some spelling mistakes on the slides. Next time, let's do another round of proofreading and we'll get it to a place where it's there's no spelling mistakes. Whatever. That didn't hurt your feelings, did it? It made you laugh.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's all about connection. It's all about connection, connecting with people.
This is so fun, Claude. Claude, where can people get more of you? Like, how can they get more of this? Where's the best place for them to follow along? Is there a place? Is there any?
Yeah, for sure. I would say LinkedIn is really big for me. I write a lot there, maybe every other day or so. That's probably the biggest place. I'll start a newsletter soon. I've started a book that'll be out in January of 2025. So stay tuned for that. But LinkedIn and please, reach out, write me. I always write people back. I want to know what people are up to.
Thank you so much, Claude. Like, this was such a beautiful conversation. You definitely really pushed me to be very present, be very empathetic in this conversation and really listen. You really challenged me there. So this was a very fun, challenging sort of episode. I just love how kind and caring you are. And you have all this experience. You've been doing this for so long. You've talked to so many people in the experience shows. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Last thing, I think you have a meeting with Gary maybe after this. I'd love for you to tell him that, like, it's because of him. Like, I started watching his Daily V like 6 years ago, and just watching his content, he sort of gave me the confidence to double down on me being me, really taught me to focus on customers, but more importantly, focus on employees, team member, and sort of building all that. So a lot of my fundamentals have come from him. Please tell him that.
I will. I have a meeting with him in 15 minutes and I will tell him that, I promise you. Hand on heart.
Thank you,
Andy. I hope to see you one day in Sydney.
I'd love that too. Have a beautiful weekend. Well, it's Friday here, so I guess it's Thursday. You've got one more day, but have a beautiful upcoming weekend, and I'll definitely keep in contact. Thank you so much.